said, we're in chapter 9 of Genesis. About a month into our study, the lessons that we've covered, there's some things that we've had time to stop and talk about. During the creation, we thought and discussed a little bit about this as an introduction to God and who God is. We also talked about evolution versus the authenticity of the Bible and the Bible story and the fact that God created all things. He did it with the spoken word, and He had the power to do so. We also touched on God's role for man and woman in the creation and for time everlasting, as well as the marriage relationship. One man, one woman for life. When we came to the first sin, we talked about Satan. We talked about how Satan tempts man, how he tempted Eve, how he tempted Adam, enticed them to sin. We talked about the fact that from the beginning, God intended for man to dress modestly. Adam and Eve made aprons of leaves. God made them coats of skin. We also talked a little bit about personal accountability. When Eve sinned and Adam sinned, God asked Adam, "Why did you do this?" Adam said, "What? Woman you gave me made me do it. It's your fault. You did this." Eve blamed the serpent. When Cain sinned, God said, "You've got a choice. You did this. Own up to it." So personal accountability, and also the fact of dealing with conscience. God's given us a conscience to tell us what's right and what's wrong. When we came to the story of Cain and Abel, we talked about sin, and we talked about sin's influence. We're in Genesis chapter 9. This is going over some things that we've studied so far. And the influence that sin has over people's lives, and also the fact that there are consequences to our sins. Some are greater than others, but when we sin, there are consequences to those actions. When we talked about the fact that the world had become wicked, we touched on the unrighteous influence over the righteous. The fact that here were the sons of God who were righteous, who were following God, married women who were worldly and unrighteous, and the result of that was what? The whole world was wicked. Okay, the whole world was wicked. So the influence that the unrighteous has over the righteous. We come to the flood and we see Noah, who was a righteous man alone. Everyone else was wicked except for Noah, his wives, his three sons, and their wives. So we talked about the fact of being different, that we as Christians are to be different. We also touched on the fact of Noah and salvation of his family, raising his family in that type of environment, preaching the gospel of salvation from the flood, believing on God, righteousness. And we talked about the fact of how discouraging that could be as we try to teach people and we try to convert our families, how discouraging we can be, or that can be to us. We talked about grace, faith, and works. God had grace on Noah because of the faith that he had, instructed him to build the ark for the salvation of himself and his family. 1 Peter 3:11 tells us that. And also we touched on that he did it according to the pattern. God gave Noah a pattern by which to build the ark, just as he gave Moses a pattern of how to build the tabernacle. Just as he's given us a pattern today of how we're to live our lives and conduct ourselves in order to be pleasing to him. So we talk about Bible authority, doing things according to the pattern, doing things according to the way that God has laid out for us to do. So 1,556 years we've gone in five chapters basically from the creation of Adam down to Noah. Adam, Seth, Enos, Cainan, Mahalalel, Jared, Enoch, Methuselah, Lamech. And Noah, 1,556 years after the creation. Okay, Wednesday night, we talked about the flood. Those were Genesis chapters 1 through 5. Genesis chapter 6, we come to the wickedness of the people. God warns Noah of the things that are to come. The sons of God who are righteous saw the daughters of men who were wicked, took them for their wives. There were Nephilim, giants, men of renown who were living in the land at that time as a result of that. The point is, the sons of God took wives irregardless of whether they were righteous or whether they were wicked. As we said, the end result of that was unrighteousness. God was sorry that He created man. Why that does that? Wants to do that every time. Sorry. God was sorry that He created man. He made a decision that He'd destroy all flesh. Not only the flesh of man, but what? All the animal life as well. So, quiet me this morning. Noah found favor in the sight of God. Noah was a righteous man. God gave him instructions for building the ark, 450 feet long, 45 feet high, 75 feet wide, made of gopher wood, sealed inside and without with pitch, and as we said, made according to the pattern that God had given for Noah to do. So, the time came. Noah had been preaching for how many years? 120 years. No success. Noah, his wife, his three sons and their wives entered the ark along with the animals that God had caused to come to Noah to preserve them on the earth. They were saved. In the second month, the 17th day of the month, the 600th year of Noah's life, the flood began. It rained for 40 days and 40 nights. The depths were broken up. They covered the highest mountains upward of 12 cubits, which would be 22 and a half feet if we figure a cubit being 18 inches. All flesh died. The water remained on the earth for 150 days, approximately 5 months. Ark came to rest on Mount Ararat, 7th month, 17th day of the month. Top of the mountains were seen on the 10th month and the first day of the month. On the first day, first month, first day, the 600th year of Moses, of Noah's life, not Moses' life, Noah's life, life. Wayne, you may have to do this. I can't talk. Can't punch my buttons either. The waters were dried up, and on the second month, the 27th day, the earth was completely dry. God told Noah to come out of the ark with his family, all the animals. Noah came out, built an altar, offered sacrifices to God. God promised that He never again would curse the ground for man's sake and that He would never again smite all living until when, of course? Till the judgment. Okay. So He gave Noah some law and his family some laws and promises. Not only could they eat the fruit of the trees and the herb of the field, but now they would have meat to eat. But they were not to eat of the blood, because the blood is what? Blood is the life. Also, He gave them the law of capital punishment. Anyone who shed man's blood, by man would his blood be shed. And the covenant of the rainbow, where God put the rainbow in the sky as a covenant that He would no longer what? Again, destroy the earth with a flood. Okay? And that brings us to where we began this morning with Noah's sin. In chapter 9, verses 20 through 29. Begin reading verse 20. Noah began to be a husbandman and planted a vineyard, and he drank of the wine and was drunken, and he was uncovered within his tent. And Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father and told his two brethren without. And Shem and Japheth took a garment and laid upon both their shoulders and went backward, and covered the nakedness of their father, and their faces were backward, and they saw not their father's nakedness. Noah awoke from his wine, and knew what his younger son had done unto him. And he said, Cursed be Canaan, a servant of servants shall he be unto his brethren. And he said, Blessed be the Lord God of Shem, and Canaan shall be his servant. God shall enlarge Japheth, and he shall dwell in the tents of Shem, and Canaan shall be his servant. So, they came out of the ark. Noah's sons were who? Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Ham was the father of Canaan. Verse 18 says it was by them the earth was repopulated. Noah planted a vineyard. And in that vineyard, he took of that, he made wine, and he was drunken. And he was in a drunken sleep in his tent, and he was naked. and uncovered. Ham went into the tent, saw his father's nakedness, came out and talked to his two brothers, Shem and Japheth, about it. Now, we don't know what kind of attitude he had. His attitude apparently wasn't very good. But he showed disrespect to Noah because of what he did. He told his brothers, Shem and Japheth showed the proper respect. What did they do? Took a garment, walked backwards, didn't look at him, and covered him up. So when Noah woke from his drunken sleep, found out what Ham had done, then he placed a curse on Canaan, who was Ham's son, that he would be the servant to the descendants of Shem, and Japheth would dwell in Shem's tent. Now, just because Scripture doesn't tell us of the displeasure that God had over Noah's drunkenness doesn't mean that it wasn't wrong. Drunkenness is always wrong. When we look at Scripture, we see wine used throughout the Bible. In some places, it's used in a good sense as a blessing. In other places, we see that it's prohibited. Well, is there a contradiction there? No. In some places, we know wine is used as the fresh grape juice. In places, it's used as the fermented alcoholic wine. So we have to use the context to make an interpretation of which is which. And we're not going to get into alcohol and drunkenness this morning, but just kind of keep that in mind. But here, the emphasis is not on Noah's drunkenness, which was wrong and a sin. And we don't need to think about the fact or get anyone thinking about the fact that God condoned this and God overlooked it. No, it was wrong for Noah to do so. But the emphasis here is on what? On Ham's sin. Ham's disrespect for his father. Not upon the drunkenness of Noah. So, blessed be the Lord God of Shem, and Canaan shall be his servant. Now, this literally came true later on. The descendants of Canaan, who were the Canaanites, had their land taken by the descendants of Shem, who were the Israelites. So we see that coming true as we look through the Bible story. The Israelites made the Canaanites their slaves. Now, God shall enlarge Japheth. He will dwell in the tents of Shem, and Canaan will be his servant. We see this promise coming true because the descendants of Japheth were the Gentiles. So we see both Jew and Gentile dwelling together in what? Church, okay? Through the spiritual blessing, sharing the spiritual blessings through Jesus Christ. So we see those prophecies that Noah made and the curse upon Canaan, the son of Ham, coming through, first of all, in Shem's descendants, making Canaan's descendants slaves, literally, and then Japheth dwelling in Shem's tent spiritually, in the fact that Gentiles and Jews sharing the blessings of Christ. If anybody's got a comment on any of that, just out with it. Okay, now, supposed to be another slide there, but one way or another it got gone. Okay, so Noah's old. He lived 350 years after the flood, which made Noah how old? 950 years old, and Noah died. So Noah lived a long time. Noah was the last person that we read of in Scripture that lived over 900 years. After the flood, we see people's lives getting shorter and shorter and shorter. When we begin to go down through those generations, the first three or four live 400 plus years, and then we see it decrease very rapidly. Abraham died at 175, and we see down to the time of David, at 70, 80 years old, he was considered an old man. So we see that decrease rather quickly down through the generations. Okay, the whole earth was of one language, and they came down from Mount Ararat to Shinar, and the plains of Shinar, and they dwelt there, and they decided there that they would build a city. And they'd build a tower in that city that reached up into the heavens. They made it out of baked brick. They had tar for mortar. So they said two things. We're going to build a city with a tower that'll reach up to heaven. We're going to make a name for ourselves, a memorial to keep us from being scattered over the face of the earth. Now, was that according to what God had told Noah and his sons to do? No. They were what? Scatter and replenish the earth. Okay? God saw what they were doing and He said, let us go down and confound their languages, because here's what they've determined to do. And if they do this, then nothing that they imagine to do is going to be held from them. So God came down. He confused their languages. He scattered them over the face of the earth. And they left off building the city and the tower. Now, who is the us that God is speaking about here? Let us go down and confuse their language. The Godhead, okay? The Father, the Word, who is the Son, and the Spirit. Okay, that's right. Goes back to the creation. Okay, they've been forever. They're deity. What'd God say they'd do if they stayed together? Anything they imagined to do. There'd be nothing that'd be left from them. So, was this a threat to God in some way? No threat to God. So what's the problem? First of all, God had said, scatter and multiply and replenish the earth. But also in the fact there's nothing that's going to be held from them, perhaps maybe the wickedness would begin again. And so He confused their language. He scattered them over the face of the earth as He had intended from the beginning. Okay, all right. That's good. And here was a reference point that they could go back to and stay together. And yeah. And that was according to what God had planned. So they left off building city and the tower. Any comments or questions so far? We're going to spend the rest of our time, if you'll go back to chapter 10. If you notice there, we went from 9 to 11. That's the two stories that are in the lesson this morning. Two very important stories. Now we'll go back to chapter 10 and the end of chapter 11. And we're going to talk just a few minutes about the generations of Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Japheth, of course, from him descended the Gentile nations. They moved north and east and west in kind of an umbrella type fashion as they left the plains of Shinar. Japheth's sons were Gomer, Magog, Madai, Javan, Tubal, Meshach, and Tyrus. Javan's sons were Elisha, Tarshish, Kittim, and Dodanim. And as we begin to look at where these people settled, you'll recognize some of these names as we go through. Kittim, Tarshish, a lot of the areas were named after these descendants. So these were the sons of Japheth, and from him descended the Gentile nations. Genesis 10:15, by these were the isles of the Gentiles divided in their lands, everyone after their tongue, after their families, and in their nations. We don't know, I guess, as much about these people as we do the others, because they were the farthest removed from the Bible story. They went north, they went east and west, and there's not a lot of information about them, but we do run into them in certain areas, and there are things that we know about them as they come in contact with the Bible story. I'm sorry. Genesis 10:5, not 15. I apologize for that. Make that correction. From Ham came the Canaanite nations. Noah placed a curse on Canaan, who was the son of Ham. One of Ham's sons was Cush, Sheba, Havilah, if you remember down in the southern part of below Egypt, the queen of Sheba came to see Solomon. You'll think of these things as you go along: Sabtha, Rehama, Sabtika, and Nimrod. Nimrod was a mighty hunter, was mighty before the Lord. It's not clear in Scripture whether he went up and built Nineveh and Rehoboth and Calah and Rezin, or whether it was Asher who did that, and it's not really important. but just remember his name. He was an important man in his day. Mizraim was another son of Ham. His sons were Ludim, Anamim, Lehabim. The one that I would like for you to keep in mind is Casluhim, or Casluhim, who was the father of the Philistines. Philistines played a large part in Israelite history as they were in conflict with them throughout. Put, we don't know anything about Put other than the fact that he was the son of Ham. Canaan, of course, Sidon, who was the Phoenicians, and Heth were his sons. And from them came the Jebusite, the Phoenicians, the Amorites, the Hivites, the Arkites, the Sinites, the Arvadites, the Zemarites, and the Hamathites. And they dwelt from Sidon, which was in Phoenicia, down to Gaza. Now, Shem, who is the one from whom Abraham descended, who would be the Jewish nation and also the Arabian nations, his sons were Elam, Asher, Arphaxad, who our story continues through, Lud, and Aram. Aram had Luz, Hul, Gether, and Mash. But through Arphaxad, Shelah, and Eber, Eber had two sons, Peleg, through whom our lineage continues, and Jotham. Jotham had several sons, and if you look at those names, you'll recognize some of them as areas that we have that deal with the Bible story. Ophar, there was gold in Ophar. Havilah, Sheba again. This Sheba and Havilah are not the Sheba and Havilah that inhabited the south, but same names. Okay, Japheth moved north, then east and west, as we said. Gomer is possibly the Sumerians who were around the Black Sea. Magog was north of the Caspian Sea, and we'll look at this in a minute, and what was Armenia. Medea was the Medes. How are we familiar with the Medes? Late in Old Testament history, we have the Medo-Persian Empire. They were descendants of Medea. Javan, his descendants settled in Tarshish and also the islands of Cyprus, the islands of Crete. Tubal's talked about it with Magog and Meshach. Meshach settled in the southeast corner of the Black Sea, and Tyrus, of course, is Greece, or Thrace, in that area. So as we see, as I said, Japheth's descendants went north and settled out east and west, and then Ham's descendants went west, the Canaanite nations. This area is over here, down into the southern, the northern part of Arabia and Africa. And, of course, Shem's descendants mainly stayed in the area of Mesopotamia, but also up into Assyria and down in the southern tip of the Red Sea. So we can see that. Descendants of Japheth, southern Spain, the Grecians, the Cretans, the people of the Isle of Cyprus, Parthians, Scythians, Medes, the Persians, the descendants of Ham, of course, the Egyptians. Mizraim in Hebrew means Egypt. So Mizraim was the Egyptians, the Arabians, Philistines, Amorites, Canaanites, the Babylonians. Hittite nations came from the descendants of Ham. And, of course, the Canaanites, as we know them as they come in contact with the Israelites. Then the descendants of Shem were the Sidians, Syrians, Assyrians, Elamites. We have Sheba and Ophir, Ethiopians south here, and then also, of course, Lydia. So we can see from that how God scattered the people and how these nations came in. Now, as we look at the generations now from Noah to Abraham, we've had 10 generations from Adam to Noah. Now 10 generations from Noah to Abraham. Of course, Shem being Noah's son, he was 100 years old when Arphaxad was born, which was 2 years after the flood. And as we come to the end of chapter 11, this is where we find the genealogy narrowed down to one line being Shem, through whom Christ came. few years after the flood, Shem was 100 years old and had a son, Arphaxad. Arphaxad lived 35 years and had a son, Shelah, or Shelah as it's pronounced in some translations. Shelah lived 30 years and had a son, Eber, who then lived 34 years and had a son, Peleg. Peleg lived 30 years, had a son, Reu. Some of these are good names for you. Reu lived 32 years and had a son, Serug, who lived 30 years, had Nahor, who lived 29 years, had Terah, who lived 70 years, and had Abram, or Abraham. Now, you put all those years together, you've got 292 years. Now, if we go to 1 Chronicles chapter 1, verses 1 through 27, just turn over there. 1 Chronicles 1, 1 through 27. I've also, I think, got it on the last page of your notes, if I remember correctly. What do you have? 1 Chronicles 1. Okay, you've got the genealogy, okay, from Adam down to Abraham. Adam, Seth, Enos, Kenan, Mahalalel, Jared, Henoch, or Enoch, as Genesis says, Methuselah, Lamech, Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The sons of Japheth, Gomer, and Magog, and Madai, and Javan, and Tubal, and Meshech, and Tyrus. And the sons of Gomer, Ashkenaz, Riphath, Togarma, the sons of Jamin, Elisha, Tarshish, Kittim, Dodaim, and on. As you go through that, come down to verse 24. Shem, Arphaxad, Shelah, Eber, Peleg, Reu, Serug, Nahor, Terah, Abram, the same as Abraham. So we have a complete genealogy there from Noah to Abraham. 20 generations. So we can be fairly certain. Now there's a possibility that someone somewhere is left out, but we have a complete genealogy there. Back in Genesis chapter 11, even how many years each one lived before the son was born. So from that, we can get a pretty good idea how much time has passed from Noah to Abraham. Now, from Adam to Noah, we said was how many years? 1,556 years, okay? Now we've got an additional 292 years in the days of Peleg. It says the earth was divided. So Peleg was born 131 years after the flood. He lived 239 years, so he died 370 years after the flood. So sometime between 131 years after the flood and 370 years after the flood is the time that God confused the languages and the earth was divided. Now, 1,556 years plus 292 years is 1,848 years. So the time of Abraham, when Abraham was born, if we go by the genealogy, we're at 1,848 years after the creation. Everybody sees that, I'm sure. Now, 1,848 years have passed since God created mankind. Now, a couple of things to think about. This doesn't add to the story. It's just something to put in our knowledge to kind of help us. Noah lived how many years after the flood? 350. Okay, so he lived to be 950 years old. Now, if Noah lived 350 years after the flood, and we're 292 years after the flood, Abraham was born, who's still alive? Noah's still alive. Abraham was 58 years old when Noah died. So, Shem lived 900 and something years, Arphaxad, Shelah, and Eber. It was at Peleg that the years began to go down. Or 400 and something years. So, Noah, Shem, Arphaxad, Shelah, Eber, all these were still alive when Abraham was born. As I said, this doesn't add or take away from the Bible story, just a fact to think about. Isaac would have been 110 years old when Noah died. when Shem died, excuse me. Shem was 600 when he died. He was 100 2 years after the flood, so he lived 502 years after the flood. Now, he would have been 390 when Abraham was born. He would have been 490 when Isaac was born. We know that because Abraham was 100 years old when Isaac was born. Isaac was 40 when he married Jacob and Esau. He would have been 565 when Abraham died. Abraham died at 175 years old. So Isaac would have been 110 years old when Shem died. So we see with these long lifespans how much time passed there. And you think about that. Now, why does the Bible not tell us that? Because they don't figure into the Bible story. Were they still there? Yes, by faith we know that, because the Bible tells us when they were born, tells us how many years they lived, tells us how old they were when they died. So we can ascertain that, yes, Abraham was 58 years old if the generations are complete when Noah died, and Isaac was 110 when Shem died. As I said, that doesn't add anything to the Bible story. It's just some facts that we think about. A lot of time passed, and you think about what kind of influence these men could have had on their descendants. Was Noah perfect? No. He sinned and got drunk. He was just like us. The Bible tells us the good and bad about everybody. It doesn't hide anything. That was the bad about Noah. But here's a man who preached for 120 years, who saved himself and his wife and his sons and their wives, who's still alive during Abraham's time. When they traveled down from Ararat to the plains of Shinar, Noah was there. When God confused and scattered the languages, Noah was there. When Abraham was born, Noah was there. So think about the influence that they could have had in teaching these people, yes, the world was wicked, God destroyed all flesh except for us. I know because I was there. I built the ark. I did what God said. Think about those things. It's mind-boggling to consider those. Questions, comments? Wayne, you got anything to say? Kind of a hard lesson to get in your mind with the generations, but so here we've had 20 generations. In those 20 generations, we're 1,848 years after the flood. Now, to get them in your mind, let's just say those together. Start with Adam. We got Adam, Seth, Enos, Cainan, Mahalalel, Jared, Enoch, Methuselah, Lamech, and Noah. Okay? What's significant about Enoch? He walked with God. Hebrews tells us God took him. He was not. He didn't die. What's the significant thing about Methuselah? And when did he die? Here the flood. Okay? Can we place significance on that? No. Did he die in the flood? We can't say that. But we can say he died the year of the flood. Okay? 10 generations, 1,556 years. Then Noah's son Shem, Arphaxad, Shelah, Eber, Peleg, Reu, Serug, Nahor, Terah, and Abraham. Abram, whom God later changed his name to Abraham. So 1,848 years after the creation, we've traveled in 10 chapters. First 5 chapters, the creation of the world and the events surrounding before the flood. Chapter 1 was creation. Chapter 2 was Adam and Eve in the garden. Chapter 3 was the first sin. Chapter 4, Cain and Abel. Chapter 5, generations from Adam to Noah. Chapter 6, we have the wickedness of the people, preparations for the flood, God's decision to destroy all flesh. Chapter 7, the flood came. Chapter 8, the waters recede. Chapter 9, they come out of the flood. God gives them laws and promises. Noah offers sacrifices to God, meat for food, law of blood, law of capital punishment, covenant of the rainbow, and then chapter 10, generations, chapter 11, scattering of people narrowed down to one line in Shem.